Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Game Awards have officially come and gone. But honestly, it's more important for us to talk about GTA 6.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a long episode. This might be a short episode. No idea.
I don't think it's going to be long because we're not going over the Game Awards.
We're going over the Game Awards.
The announcements and stuff that happened, yeah. But not going over the awards.
That's
we'll
fair.
We'll discuss Game of the Year, and that's about it.
And talk and about
our
the
normal,
event.
Yeah, the critiques of the event.
Criticize violently, viciously. The Gamers New Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interests. I was hoping to hit up Godzilla minus one, right? That doesn't sound right. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, though. Because I think it's only in theaters till the 14th. Sadness.
Yeah.
Which I have a dentist appointment on the 14th, it looks like.
Good news. Good news, everybody. I have a dentist appointment. Should we get into it, then?
Yeah, new releases, new things to play, you know, if you're bored and...
My phone's on the floor.
You want to spike your phone on the ground?
I threw it on the ground. Oh, God, I'm so happy. Hold on there. Number one, Make Wave for the PC. Number two, The Wagadoo Chronicles for the PC. Number three, Born of Bread for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and
you
Switch.
You merely adopted the bread.
I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't know yeast till I was nearly a man.
That doesn't sound good.
Number four, Cyberpunk 2077 Ultimate Edition. Number five, Extremely Powerful Capybaras for the PC.
Scary.
Number six, Have a Nice Death for PlayStation and Xbox. Number seven, The Lord of the Rings Return to Moria for PS5.
I forgot about that game.
Yeah. Number eight, Tram Simulator Urban Transit for the PC.
Very specific.
Number nine, PlayStation Access Controller. So their weird, funky one, remember?
It's like the circular thing.
Yeah. Number 10, Arizona Sunshine 2 for PC VR and PSVR 2. Number 11, the game no one is talking about, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Which is interesting because I've heard that it's not bad, actually.
PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Yeah, I've also heard that it's like not terrible, but it's like Ubisoft's not even advertising it for mine. It's not in any of my feeds.
It's funny because everything I've seen has been like, you know, for an Ubisoft game, it's surprisingly well polished and like.
Right. Which are they doing what they normally do where they don't advertise the thing they should and super advertise the thing they shouldn't?
Yeah. The whole Immortals Phoenix Rising thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the only time that Avatar got mentioned in the Game Awards the day it came out was a cut in a Samsung commercial.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of that. Pie in the sky idea because I don't have any free time. But I really had this overwhelming desire today while I was thinking about the Game Awards to be like, man, it'd be nice to sit down and edit the Game Awards down and see how long it really was.
If you actually take hard drive's quote for using an ad block, makes the Game Awards.
If you
7
removed
minutes.
All the ads and things that weren't like relevant, you know, like were bullshit ads, essentially, how long it truly would be.
Yeah, it would definitely be an interesting one. I wonder if it would end up kind of like the fan edit for episode 8.
Yeah.
Where they just remove the entire casino planet.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I think literally the fan edit just goes cut, and they just delete that section. Because it's not needed at all.
Yep.
Number 12, The Day Before, is officially out on PC.
Oh, the double down on The Day of Infamy.
It actually exists.
That's... Is it real?
It's out.
I'm gonna look
it's
up.
It's buggy as all hell.
Okay.
Number 13, Lego Brick Tales VR for Quest. Number 14, Terminator Dark Fate Defiance for PC. Number 15, Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 16, Back Then for PC and PlayStation. And number 17, Fearmonium for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And the Lego mode is inside of Fortnite.
Oh. Dropping. All right, well, here's the headline. The Day Before is real, but lied about everything else.
Surprising nobody on this podcast.
Yep. All right. Generally, you know, if it looks like it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. I'm very phlegmy today. It's probably the coffee.
Yeah, I could do that.
You ever get those like really stringy like snot things as well? You know, like stringy snot. You ever had stringy snot?
How stringy?
Like you're trying to like
you're a child character where you like have it attached to your fingers and you're 8 inches away from your face, stringy.
I mean, not that like comic book, yeah, bad, so, yeah. But you know, like you're, it's clearly you feel it in your nose, and you're like trying to blow your nose, and it won't come out, and you're stuffing tissues in there and like twisting it, and no matter what, it just won't come out, and then when it finally does, it's just like thick string.
Yeah,
yeah.
You want to know?
That's where I'm at.
Like, you want to know what's probably not a good idea?
What's that?
But I remember like doing the tests and. The COVID tests, that like wand,
yeah,
that you know you jam up to your brain and twirl it around.
You tickle your brain. Yeah, yeah. A little
bit. I bet that cleans out that problem pretty well. Like just blowing, getting nothing, and you just go, I'm just gonna knock it loose a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I've found generally I just kind of do snot rockets into a tissue. That seems to be the only way. Oh. I've tried. Doing that, but with Q-tips before.
Oh, interesting.
And I feel like those really help.
Too big that they might not get all the way. But I don't know. I haven't used the Q-tip. Oh. Also, you've heard me blow my nose before, right? This is a transition. You've heard me blow my nose before, right? And like how aggressive it sounds like it's a fucking elephant.
Yeah.
Three houses down blowing his nose. And you're like, can you blow your nose like a normal person? So, yeah. I have not recently. This would be years ago, but I have made my nose bleed from blowing my nose.
Yeah. I've been there.
Cause I'm just like, this is leaving my body.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, the blowing the nose part doesn't do it. Doesn't make my nose bleed. It's like when I feel something in there, it's like it has to come out, and I don't care if I have to take a goddamn knife to my nose and cut my nose off.
Yeah. I won't get that far, but I will get to the point where the capacity for my nose to pass air through it becomes impressive to me.
Yeah. I'm like, blowing balloons with your nose.
Right. Probably. If I could actually create a vacuum with the balloon around my nose, I could probably do it.
Yeah. Just put it over your head. what are you feeling?
I'm going to cheat.
Okay. That's fine. Listen, when we get to the Game Awards, it's gonna be a shit show.
Yeah, I'm gonna take evens.
Okay, number one, layoffs—they're a thing, you know.
Not mentioned at the Game Awards.
Yep, not mentioned at the Game Awards. They would not dare.
We want to be a place that can put out messages with our platform.
Mm-hmm.
Not about that.
Phoenix Labs had its second round of layoffs this year, reducing their workforce by a total of 34 people across publishing, HR, IT, and shared services teams. Saber Interactive subsidiary New World Interactive has experienced layoffs. It was first believed that the entire studio had been shut down, but it looks like it might have been an entire team working on a specific project. Electronic Arts has implemented a round of layoffs at F1 developer Codemasters. EA called the layoffs, quote, small-scale organizational changes, end quote.
And which then, is kind of, like, not good.
No. I mean,
because you're already in the midst of killing Criterion. Now well, you're killing Codemasters, who you bought to make more than one racing game.
That, and you already killed Codemasters' second studio.
Right.
So...
are you guys just backing out of racing?
It's fucking EA. Rovio has shut down Studio Lumi following its recent acquisition of Sega. Recent acquisition by Sega. 16 members of staff lost their jobs as a result, and development has ended on an unannounced project. So that's layoffs for the week. I'm sure there'll be more in the future because that's how companies work. They're like, oh... let's increase our profits by reducing operating. That's what I'm looking for.
Costs?
Operating. Yeah.
Overhead?
I guess operating overhead, operating costs.
Why make good product when less employee do trick?
Yeah. We'll talk about that more in a little bit.
Oh, great. My favorite thing to talk about. Oh, I guess we should talk about probably the biggest thing in this podcast.
I would agree.
Relative to the last 12 years.
Wow.
11 years, sorry.
I mean, clearly it's hyped.
GTA 6 trailer. Number 2 Rockstar has released the trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6 a day earlier than planned following a leak of said trailer. GTA 6 takes place in the fictional state of Leonida. I think.
No idea.
Where players can explore the familiar Vice City and its surrounding areas with 2 new protagonists. The game will be available on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S in 2025. But there is no word of its potential release on PC.
AK, it's coming out a year or a year and a half later.
Right. GTA 6's first trailer has already broken some records, reaching over 100 million views within the first 24 hours of release. Guinness World Records said on social media that it became the most viewed video game reveal on YouTube in 24 hours. Thoughts?
Yeah.
GTA 5 came out in 2012.
Yeah.
Just to contextualize a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Still holds up.
Came out on the 360.
I would argue...
survived 3 generations.
From a multifaceted perspective, from like a technical perspective, from a, you know, just as a whole, I think the only thing that's come close to meeting or exceeding GTA 5 is probably Red Dead Redemption 2.
Also made by Rockstar.
Yes. I still don't know how they made that game fucking work on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean,
I would argue there's some things that I could say like came close. Like Red Dead doing what it did, and mm-hmm. then Baldur's Gate would be up there. I don't know if there's really any. If Cyberpunk had launched in the way that it's ending,
mm-hmm.
that also could have probably been in the running, but it is not at all.
But then again, all of those games have come out in the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. Not in...
Not 11 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
On a 360.
That's my favorite part to always think back to. Because I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
I have fond memories of buying it, coming home, mm-hmm. and going hard, man, hard in the paint.
When like you first realize that like the switching characters is a mechanic that you can do whenever you want.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, how are they doing this? Where's the fucking magic? pull back the curtain. Where's the fucking dude behind the curtain with the buttons and the fucking switches?
Yeah, this once you had all three characters unlocked, the switching on the fly between them in open world and even inside of some missions.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting you just in random places. Mm-hmm. I remember multiple times waking up as Trevor in the mountains, just in your underwear.
In your underwear.
Hungover as all hell.
The heists were amazing. The story was good.
And this is all, 2012 is not even online.
Yeah.
That's
the wild thing about GTA 5, too, is it's essentially...
Online was a month or 2 months later?
It's essentially developed into two separate games that are impressive on their own.
Yeah, because GTA 5 came out, you had to wait a month to a month and a half for online to get released.
Mm-hmm.
Then online got released, and you didn't really have much to do except for just play with your friend and rob convenience stores and drive around and race and do like little whatever missions, team deathmatch, stuff like that. And then like a year later, when we moved to PlayStation 4, I think, is when the heist came out.
That popped off.
Then all of us are going home, do the heist, get the crew, do four person, and the stories of Dewey crashing the plane that are still some of my favorite memories. Mm-hmm. Next to me wanting to kill him in Destiny 1's first raid. But the also wanting to kill him in GTA for literally ending a mission that we had to do again. Having Danger Zone kick on after you've done the part and you're just flying.
That game was so good at creating those moments too, because like I remember we were taken off from the fucking carrier in that mission or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and someone was like, it'd be really dope if Danger Zone started playing, and all of a sudden the fucking music kicked on and we were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it was I might have been the one to say, I don't remember, because it was just like, you're in jets.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool if, and then, like, ain't no fucking way, right? Because I also remember trying to take off multiple times and who was going to get in the Harrier and who wasn't. And then somebody, I think it was you and somebody else, got tangled up trying to take off from the aircraft carrier and crashed into the ocean and we had to restart.
Yep.
That one, the prison one, where somebody had to escort the other, you were split into two teams of two. The parking lot one, where somebody had to crawl up, like climb up into the, you were staging a like drug deal that was getting attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was up like on different roofs and
Yeah. So, I think expectations are obviously high.
Yeah.
And double down on that because you're returning to Vice City, which Vice City, I think, is kind of like, everyone has like a special place in their heart for Vice City.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I loved it. And then
the shots they show.
Someone posted a video of the. This was the other thing, I guess. What the people who. How do I describe it? I don't know. Some people forgetting what GTA is or not really knowing what GTA is, and then like the video being posted online of like. They recreated all these Florida
Instagram and TikTok and Florida man stuff of lady with the hatchets wrangling the gator out of the pool, the dirt,
the chick twerking on the car,
just all that stuff. And from a technical Marvel standpoint, it will blow Red Dead out of the water, because if those things are rendered the way that I think they are, to have that many assets on the beach and be doing all that stuff, like, that looking at that trailer and hoping that that is all rendered the way that I think it is, that is your next gen game.
Mm.
That is what we should have been seeing for 2 years now.
Yeah,
in console exclusives, like that is potentially exactly what you want. It's gonna be a massive world. There's so many different. You get to the mud stuff, even the lighting effects when they show I can't remember the name of that boulevard that has the
It's like the
hotel and stuff on it.
Yeah, it's like supposed to be like Miami and the Miami Boulevard kind of.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. But that shot is so impressive, and there's so many little details everywhere, and it's just the detail thing. Like, we were sitting there my friend and I watching it in like one of our 4K screens and then pausing it and staring at things of like, oh yeah, look at this and look at this and look at this and this little neat thing and this little neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then kicking over to like the Instagram reels when the news starts playing and you see the ticker tape at the bottom says just really stupid shit. And you're like, ah, GTA is so good.
Yeah.
They show that ocean shot of the bridge with mm-hmm. the dilapidated one next to it. And it's like, is that a reference to old, like the old Maybe. Vice City back in the day?
Yeah, well, there's two bridges in Vice City.
Right, but one of them's blown up mm-hmm. in this one, and they've clearly rerouted traffic onto the new bridge, and all the amount of the boat shots, and just all of this stuff that's like, this is, I hope Rockstar doesn't miss.
Same, I feel the same way. I'm kind of going old man approach, where I'm like, I'm hyped, obviously, and I expectations are high, but I looked at the trailer and was like, all right, cool, grain of salt. Just because, like,
for me, it was this. Everything I've said looks really good,
mm-hmm.
and then the immediate happy to know it exists. I'll see you later.
Yeah,
it's out of my.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to next year, it's gonna be like, yeah, sure, whatever. It's still coming. It's not.
I'm more annoyed by the leak more than anything else. I'm just like kind of sick of everyone's overwhelming desire to be like first.
You know, we were talking about that too, where that dude's kid. That was like taking videos of the game and leaking a bunch of stuff. I'm like, you probably got your dad fired.
Yeah.
And you screwed your family. You like, if he does get fired, if they take like the harshest, like one of the harshest penalties they could, he's fired, sued. And that family is now screwed because bro wanted clicks.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get he would get blacklisted for, you know, a year to 2 years where it's like, no, you're not allowed to work on anything cool. From any yeah. company because we're not trusting that you can't leak it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it would just be like, okay, the good version is no, you can't work at home anymore. No kids are allowed in this place. And I want to speak to your kid because is he 18? I'm suing him.
Yeah.
Just to make a point.
Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. I don't like that.
No.
You're part of culture at the moment. The whole like, ooh, I found that, like, you know, let me ruin this. Because I got to be first and get the views. And
yeah, it's like, no, just let everybody have their moment where we all get to sit together and watch a thing.
Yeah.
And have that genuine internet discovery communication moment. That's where the fun comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we start playing this all, what's going to kill me is that they're going to give it to reviewers early and everybody's going to talk about it. And I'm like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I want everybody to get it the same day. No reviews.
I mean, what did they do for GTA 5?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Cycle, I don't remember. But I would prefer them not to give it to reviewers, except for on day one, and then just go, everybody go have fun. And it becomes, you're going to watch Reddit blow up, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, of people grabbing all these little moments and these little characters that you find, you know, little pee-whiz, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just this guy. But he's got some of the craziest voice lines in the game, but he's so far out in the middle of nowhere that unless you just went driving and ignored the campaign, you'd never find him.
Yeah.
But those are where, that's where like the...
My hope would be they do early preview. You know, they let people play like the first 40 minutes or whatever, just so we know that it's like, okay.
Yeah, sure. If they want to say like you have an hour and that's all we're ever giving you.
Yeah. And then like... You know, maybe give them review copies a couple days early, but then like NDA the fuck out of them until like release day. Just because, like, obviously it's a slippery slope if you don't.
It is, but it's like I would just rather that. I don't care about the games industry playing anything early.
No,
I don't give a shit. I'm in the minority, I guess, but like, mm-hmm. I'm never gonna look at reviews. To buy a game.
I look at reviews to make sure the game isn't broken.
Right. I'll like, you know, check so to like, make sure there's not like a bug report somewhere or something. Where it's like, you literally can't get past mission 3 because blah. And it's like.
Yeah. So if I see reviews and it's like, you know, they're all 5, 4 or whatever. And then I check some bylines real quick and it's like, you know, game's unplayable. I'm like, all right, cool. But if I see like 8, 7s, 10s, you know, if there's like a. a realistic splattering and it doesn't seem like there's any glaring headlines, I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. Or if it's like, you know, there's certain things where, like, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberpunk, I was going to play. Did not care if it was going to launch broken. I was going to play that.
Yeah.
And I did. I paid for it with a couple of bugs, but for the most part, I was fine. And apparently, if I wanted to wait for the bugs to fix, I would have to wait 3 years. So.
True. Shall we move on? Is there more you want to say? Anything? Any things you'd like to see or specific things you're looking forward to?
I want to know
or
how the character thing works.
If it's going to be like a direct.
And are like, you going to be able to do the free swap again? Are they going to
have more structured?
Are we going to get another trailer that kind of, they like how they kind of initially, so they did the one trailer and then they did individual trailers for Trevor, Franklin, and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Is this considered like her trailer? Because we don't really talk to him that much except to make sure that like he's in for the mission type of thing. So I'm curious if it's going to be flippable like all the time,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to lock you in sometimes to just being her, or if you're never him at all, he's just always your sidekick, or, you know, like what does this all mean? Does he betray you in the end? Who knows? I just want to know how that works.
Yeah.
I think that's it, though. I think that's the only thing that I'm like
curious about.
I don't think I care to know anything.
That's
the only thing I want to know is like, how do those two interact as from like a player thing? Do I play as both of them? Like, do I at least get to customize them?
Mm-hmm.
Am I only customizing her? Is it one playable character?
Is
it two?
I guess the things I want to know are like logistics stuff. Like, okay, so when's what? You know, when's the PC version coming out? Like,
I would also like to see a map overlaid of Los Santos.
Yeah, like that, like the logistical stuff, and then like what's GTA Online gonna look like? When's it releasing? Is there gonna be some shtick? You know,
I want GTA Online 1 month to 2 months after launch.
Yeah.
I want everybody to experience the single player first.
Yeah. That's about it though for what I really care about. Anything else I don't really need to know, except for when is it coming and who do I give the money to?
Because I said 25, I'm wondering, are we going to get fall 25, spring 25?
Yeah, kind of. I guess it's not early. I keep thinking that it's like soon, but we're basically in 2024.
Yeah, we still have a whole other year. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know either. All right, number three. This one sounds a little clickbaity to start, so.
Great.
Sony is expected to take full control of Destiny developer Bungie if the studio fails to meet the financial targets set after it was acquired last year. According to an IGN report, Bungie is currently a fully independent subsidiary within Sony with a board of directors that is split between PlayStation executives and those of Bungie. Bungie CEO Pete Parsons has the tiebreaker vote, with fellow board members, including PlayStation Studios boss Herman Holst, Sony Senior VP Eric Lempel, Bungie CTO Louis Vigas, and studio co-founder Jason Jones. However, sources told IGN that Bungie leaders said shortly after the recent round of layoffs that if the studio does not reach certain financial goals, Sony can dissolve the split board and take full control. Sources said that the layoffs, combined with other cost-cutting measures, such as a hiring freeze, reduced travel budgets, the cancellation of holiday bonuses, and reduction of yearly studio performance bonuses, has significantly impacted morale, creating a, quote, soul-crushing mood, end quote, within the company.
Do you think the board bonuses are on the table yet? Or
this guy over here asking the real questions.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of going to wait and see at this.
I have, yes.
Popcorn's out.
Popcorn is out. I have no sympathy for Bungie.
Nope, neither do I.
It's because gone. How many fucking times have you weaseled your way out of this?
You've somehow attempted to blame every parent you've ever had.
Yep. And I gave you the benefit of the doubt
both times. But you know what they say, fool me once, fool me twice, third time. I ain't doing that shit again.
No. And
the call's coming from inside the house.
And you know what? I don't know. I don't know. Because you got to pick your poison. I think out of the three that I like currently, obviously, Xbox/Microsoft's got like a little bit of a mind share, like everyone likes them sort of thing going on right now. I don't know what's worse to be eaten by, Activision or Sony.
Sony.
You think Sony's worse?
I think they have the same problem.
Yeah.
You either become a Naughty Dog support studio.
Yep.
Or you live long enough to see yourself become a Call of Duty support studio.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So.
It's going to be really interesting. I have a problem. Just popcorn's out.
Yeah.
I want to see how this falls.
I also am curious.
I would like it if they turned around and said, we have now assumed control of the board and the board is now removed. Like, we've assumed control of this company and everybody that was in a senior leadership position is now gone. Like, essentially, from all the people that have caused all these problems all these years.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going down to, you have your team leads and one lead designer and that's that. Like,
yeah.
Fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling all hands and be like, listen, fix this. We can't have this. This cannot. You guys can't have three IPs apparently in process and keep doing this and assume that you're going to make three and assume that Marathon's going to be successful. We saw what we saw.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because seeing the lineage between 343 and Bungie, like they're the opposite of the same coin and they have the same fucking problems where like they can't get out of their own fucking way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And Marathon just looks like Destiny. It looks no fucking different.
Right. And then they had that third one which they've announced that it has a code name and that's it.
Yeah. Which I'm sure, guess what? Looks like the other two.
Yeah. Or is getting canceled.
Yeah.
Number four. PlayStation is removing purchased Discovery television shows from its platform by the end of this month. In a legal notice sent to users who have previously bought Discovery content on a PlayStation store, the company said shows will become unavailable due to licensing issues from December 31st. Over 1,300 seasons of shows will be removed, as listed by PlayStation, including Animal Planet Presents, Cake Boss, Deadliest Catch, How It's Made, and Mythbusters. And I'm sure at some point there's going to be a weird lawsuit, and we'll see how that goes.
As there should be. Next up is the Game Awards. So I figure what we'll do, since we are not going to cover the awards, we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. I'm assuming we'll touch on Baldur's Gate. Is this when you want to air our grievances and criticize, and then we'll go into game announcements, or you want to just smush it all together into one?
Let's go through the awards, then Festivus, then announcements.
Okay. Do you want me to rip through all of them, or you want to just do
a few? I'll take care of the awards.
Okay.
Then we'll Festivus, and then I'll let you get through some of the announcements.
Okay.
If the announcements are as long as I think they are, maybe we'll split those. So awards. We're going to do this right from the top, important to down. Game of the year from the Game Awards was Baldur's Gate 3. I think correctly chosen.
Yeah.
I was probably not going to have really much of an argument if they chose anything else. Alan Wake 2 is my prediction, but Baldur's Gate wins. I can't argue that at all.
From an outsider's perspective, I think Baldur's Gate 3 edges out Alan Wake, but if it could have been either one, and I think people would have been okay with that.
I wouldn't be surprised if at DICE you maybe see Alan Wake win, but for game of the year and like involving fans and everything, I think Baldur's Gate just kills it.
Yeah.
But there might be like when DICE is doing it and it's all inside industry type things, I wonder if they see things that are like technical marvels that are more impressive for them or something.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Best game direction went to Alan Wake. Best narrative and best art direction, all Alan Wake 2. I did see a tweet. Let's see if I still have this saved. It was a 10-year-old or a tweet that was referencing 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember 10 years ago, I remember this happening now that I've like read this, but I wouldn't have been able to 100% cite it.
Yeah.
10 years ago, Sam Blake, Remedy, made a video apologizing to fans that they couldn't get an Alan Wake sequel. So 2013, he's like, you can't get it. Financially, we can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
The first one didn't sell. American Nightmare probably didn't sell enough. There's not enough entry, whatever. And then, you know, fall back to Remedy's like Dark Years, and then they come back, controls the thing, controls, kills it.
Yeah.
And now we have Alan Wake 2. And then Sam in 2023, Alan Wake 2 wins, let's see here. Best game direction, best narrative, best art direction. Is there another one in here? No, that's just the ones. But massive ones. And the dude jumps in the middle of a performance at the awards dancing.
Yeah.
Like, what a 10-year turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Control, man. That,
I checked a walkthrough chapter number just to, like, make sure. I think I'm, like, 75% of the way through Alan Wake 2 right now, so. And I'm loving it.
Good.
I won't play tonight, though. That's still true. What else did I want to talk about on here? I wanted an argument for best ongoing game being Cyberpunk. I don't think that is an ongoing game.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to our last conversation about the Game Awards, where the categories are just kind of...
Categories are fucked up.
Yep.
Or at least whoever votes to put them in doesn't do it correctly. And Faker wins best esports athlete. Let's go, boy. Content creator of the year, Iron Mouse, who is a VTuber that Matt and I did not know. But the question posed to me by Matt as that happened was there ever a year you thought that this would become so mainstream to win this? And the answer was then no. Still no.
I'm honestly,
it's
like,
wild.
I it is. I'm shocked how prolific VTubers have become.
Yeah.
It's cool. I love the idea of it. And you brought up a valid point where, like, I kind of like it as an alternative to the traditional female option as far as,
right. And it's not because I mean, I there's the immediate backpedal I want to do of like, no, we don't hate women, but it's the
no, but like
it's that you can hide behind that, so you can, nobody knows what you look like, and you should hopefully still be able to go about your daily life and not feel the creeps on the internet that want to that threaten you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think there's like
that all that should not be a thing that happens, but it is. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
I think it also allows I honestly, it works both ways. It allows, you know, gender roles to kind of take a back seat. So, like, you know, you could have a female VTuber or a male VTuber kind of shirk traditional gender roles and not get as attacked as they would if they were like,
yeah,
presenting their exact self.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, like, Doc is essentially a VTuber.
Yeah,
but without, like, he's himself. He is Guy Beam playing a character.
Yep.
That has pushed many a boundaries and many a things, but like that idea of playing the character is the VTuber of like. Mm-hmm. Oh, my name is Jane Doe, and I am the VTuber Mighty Mouse.
Yep.
But you don't know the Jane Doe part. You just know Mighty Mouse and their antics on stream, and it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were, most of them are using voice modulation of some sort and whatever. So it's like, if you were just wandering through a Walmart, you'd never know.
Yeah. And it's fascinating in its own way. Like, I looked into it a little bit when we were joking about the Boomkin thing about
fucking
how
Tommy Dungeons. Hey, I'm blasting over here.
How they, like, create the art and everything, and then, like,
it's
breaking
whole,
it up and then rigging. And
yeah,
like,
you're doing a whole lot of layer things, and then mm-hmm. you're wireframing onto it to make reactive motions to where
you're essentially doing art and then animation.
Yeah,
and then
having a
tracking.
Camera, having a camera still technically on you,
mm-hmm.
that is then moving the rig for you. So as you do all like the reactions, and you kind of become a puppet master.
Yeah,
to be a really good one to like move it around the way you want, or to have mm-hmm. the reactions. I mean,
and then you gotta on top of that, you gotta do your preset stuff. There's certain things, effects you want.
Yeah,
any sort of voice alteration.
Right, and I think a lot of them do use voice modulating software, which makes sense. Why wouldn't you? Like, you're,
it's just another layer
for the character. It's another separation layer. The only thing that I don't love about it,
mm-hmm,
is I need people to do what you and I are joking about doing with the Boomkin model.
Yeah,
I need them to branch the models more.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't
my
all
one,
have to be anime characters.
Yes, that's my one beef with it. I obviously think it's neat in one aspect because I like anime, so it's cool to see that be more mainstream. Yeah. But I think in the next couple years, like maybe the next 2 years, when it becomes even more popular, you'll start to see it go the direction that we're thinking. That's kind of more,
yeah,
spreads its wings a little bit.
We don't
and you
all
can
have
do
to be anime
things.
Characters that clearly look like they could star in their own episode of Dragon Ball Z. Like, we do something different.
Yeah,
yeah. That being said, we have watched a VTuber,
mm-hmm,
and it is only fair to shout her out. That is the wonderful Chibi Doki,
mm-hmm,
who is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's well younger than both of us.
Oh,
from
the jokes.
From my understanding of, she plays with Ray a lot and always jokes about watching him and whatever,
and how
young she is relative. Yeah. But she is hysterical. Mm-hmm. She is somebody that I could probably watch even without the group content because it's just chaos and mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
And her rig is pretty simple.
Yeah.
But it's, she puppets it really well with like the right reactions, the modulations and everything, mm-hmm, are so good. But then I don't know if our social media team still works or not. So she might not get shouted out technically, but the rig she has, I believe, is like a pink, like dragon. It's supposed to be something like a pink dragon-esque. I think like it has, I don't know if it has wings, but it has like the fang teeth or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's just like a small, like not full size, not like adult model, but like almost child model that you never see like the whole thing of unless she starts flying it around the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hysterical to me because she will, like, I don't know how many she has saved where she'll like be putting hats on,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. And I think one day there's multiple clips that pop up all the time. I think one that says, like MILF Hunter is a hat that it has. And there's just so many that just make me fucking start laughing. I'm like, how are you wearing this and acting in any way serious? Like, it's not you wearing it, but like it's just fucking hysterical. There's one that said, what was the one? It was, I think, Among Us twerking, like a gif,
mm-hmm,
and it was just plastered on her forehead. And her and Ray were talking about something. He's like, do you still have, like, he asked her something, and she's like, my entire chat is just spamming sus and Among Us. And he's like, well, do you still have Among Us twerking on your forehead? And then she just goes radio silent for a minute while she, if you were watching her stream, she clicks over, clicks into clearly into whatever rigging software and is moving things. And he's like, where'd she go? Did you leave? She's like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because she completely forgot she had that stuff on or whatever. Oh, I think the MILF Hunter is Man I Love Feet.
Okay.
I think that's what the abbreviation is underneath the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, the normal, whatever. But it's just like, there's just so many stupid things that you can do.
I mean, that's kind of the fun of it, too, because, like, it almost opens up a different type of possibilities because, like, you could have all these outfits, effects, different facial expression, different animations, all keyed to a Steam, what are they called? Stream Deck.
Yeah.
I just want to say Steam Deck, but
yeah,
you know, like they just hit a button and you got a whole different, whole different character.
Yeah. I mean, if you really up the production quality, you end up again, kind of like Doc where he's like walking through,
mm-hmm,
you know, the locker room that is clearly a green screen in his office, but he's, you know, got the whole thing designed up so he can kind of like walk through when he's riding in a Lambo and like,
yep,
the, like if you have a rig and you're doing a driving sim type thing and you put your character like in a driving cockpit, mm-hmm, and it's like the whole thing, it's just so funny.
It's wild.
At the same point, time for grievances.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Of the Game Awards.
Dun, dun, dun.
Shit was too long.
It was hella long, as the kids say.
It was 3.5 hours if you count the half hour pre-show. We got to stop. This has to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
Has to be. If it's 2.5 because you do a 30-minute lead-in and then 2 hours, fine. But you have to be that long. You cannot go over.
I find it mildly entertaining how they keep shrinking the actual Game Awards portion of it.
Yeah.
More and more, and it's just morphing into like
we go from Summer Game Fest to Winter Game Fest. That's what it's turning into. And that's my first gripe. Too long.
Mm-hmm.
My second gripe. We gotta stop with the favoritism.
Yeah.
It has to end.
Mm-hmm.
This cannot be a show about Jeff. Which, for the most part, I don't think it really is, but they're obviously he's hosting it, so there's going to be a lot of him.
But I think, well, here's my
Kojima
thing.
Kojima cannot come out for 10 minutes with fucking nothing, and then we kick award winners who are the focus of the night off the stage.
I think it is valid criticism. If it was a one-time thing or a couple times, whatever, but it's so consistent now that like the Game Awards is clearly based on Jeff Keighley's relationships with people in the industry.
Yes.
And clearly he has stronger relationships with some people than others.
Yes.
Which is fine. But I think I appreciate what Jeff Keighley has done for video games and what he's done for the Game Awards and all that stuff, Summer Games Fest. But I think at this point he's becoming more, I don't want to say more of a hindrance, but he's starting to limit its possibilities in a certain way. Like
he needs to let it be bigger than him, and I don't think.
Yeah,
I think he wants to say that it is,
mm-hmm.
but he's not
willing to let go.
He's not doing the show it, don't say it.
Yeah,
where it's like no, let somebody else host and say like presented by whatever, and you come out and do like Game of the Year or something, but let somebody else host then.
Yeah.
You know, try to do something like that. But the Hideo thing is the easiest thing to bring up because it's hysterical. It's so much watching him lose his boyfriend to Jordan Peele. In that moment, I was going to start cackle laughing on your couch because it was just so hysterical to see it happen in real time. But that being said, it was 10 minutes. They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
They didn't show anything. They didn't say anything. And that was okay when he left Konami.
Yeah.
And everybody went, what the fuck is going to happen? Like, this is ridiculous. And then they do Death Stranding at those Game Awards. That, fine. That is a... That's like a massive, like if Todd Howard leaves Bethesda and he goes radio silent and nobody knows what he's going to do, and then he announces his own studio and own game there, fine. But you can't just keep doing this, he's a visionary, whatever, and then drop a game and we're all kind of like, but what are you even doing? You didn't show anything. You showed two people talking to a screen with a door. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
The act is tried.
Mm-hmm. My other this criticism that I agree with all of that. The other one that annoys me is this. I kind of feel like he's trying to force the mainstream thing a little bit too much. Like, I'm sick of the actors being
That was my next thing. They don't need to be there.
They don't. And honestly, like, it's funny because like the music, the Alan Wake musical act felt more genuine, and it was more enjoyable than, you know, having Matthew McConaughey show up and try to be like in the, you know.
Here's my, do not bring another actor to this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they are like.
It feels genuine, and it is genuine.
It needs to feel genuine. I was going to say unless they're in a game, but you can't bring Vin Diesel to show a Fast and Furious game. Honestly, no actor should be there for the most part unless they are accepting an award for being like a role in a game.
Yeah.
They do not need to be there otherwise and talk about how much they seemingly did not need to be there with a broken leg.
No.
Talking about how much he loves video games. You can't bring Anthony Mackie there to present a thing because he can't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because that's kind of the problem. It's like it goes back to the argument about favoritism and not necessarily the favoritism, but like all the bullshit and then kicking out the people that you're supposed to be celebrating. Like, you're supposed to be, the idea is to celebrate the gaming industry, but then you're focusing on
actors. You should have had a wrap it up sign 5 seconds into Anthony Mackie's thing.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we brought you here to do this. Stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to Baldur's Gate 3 winning a thing, Alan Wake winning a thing, all the ones that won that did not get to go receive an award on stage because they were just, you know, they either weren't there or it was one of the ones that like Sid did on the side where they're like, yep, they win this. And it was just kind of it. They should have been given. I know it was the whole joke about Christopher Judge.
Yeah.
But it's fine to have that moment that they had.
Mm-hmm.
He also didn't need to say anything about Call of Duty's campaign length, which was another like just weird out of touch shot where it's like, yeah, you want to kind of be like the haha, we're going to poke fun at it. But you're talking to a room full of devs that after leaked in problem development that was supposed to be DLC, wasn't DLC, then became rushed and crunched. And then you're saying, it fucking sucked. And you're telling it to a room of them is like kind of weird.
I liked it, but I don't like Call of Duty. So
right. But like it's just weird, though.
It is. It's weird.
It's weird to do that. It'd be like walking up on the Oscars and being like, man, you know what's never going to win? Pearl Harbor. And you're like, what the fuck are we talking? Why are we shitting on a movie out of nowhere? If you wanted to shit on like some part of the movie where you're like, man, we could have just killed Makarov 10 years ago and this would have saved a lot of things. Like, ha ha ha. Like, you want to shit on a specific, but you don't want to shit on like the process of making it. You want to shit on a moment of it, sure. But it was just weird to me. You're gonna do that, but you're not gonna talk about the crunch and the layoffs that the industry has taken at record number this year with record profits. Because that would have been a great turnaround, is if the next presenter came out and went, "Man, that's really weird that you wanted to make a joke about that. I'll give you a better joke. Everybody here that's reaping benefits from profits and fired half their studios."
Yeah,
and then watch the room go deadpan silent and go, that's what I thought. Anyway, next award goes to like it would have been a wild turnaround. That same thing though, back to the actor. I would rather have seen Todd Howard present an award, Pete Hines present an award, Hideo present an award. Reggie was there, present an award. Greg Miller, present an award. Like, you're just an industry pundit person, but like,
yeah,
I don't, you know, just something that I don't give a fuck if there's the actors there. Who gives a shit? It's a money grab, and it feels bad and horribly disingenuous to gamers and game developers who are supposed to be the focus.
Yeah, I think I honestly, it's almost like there's an identity crisis of sorts, or it needs to figure out what it is, because it's not really right now. It's not really the Game Awards. It's,
they're trying to be the Oscars again.
It's,
they want Hollywood's approval so bad, yet they rake Hollywood in money.
And you'll notice this when we get into what was announced. I appreciate seeing the new stuff, but there was too much this year.
I would have been.
There was just too much.
What I would love to see a version of this where they come on and they go, "Welcome to the Game Awards pre-show."
Mm-hmm.
Just so you're aware, for the next 20 minutes, we're ripping trailers. Buckle up. And they take all those trailers they showed throughout the night, condense them into a 20-minute haul ass at the beginning of the thing, rip through as many of them as they can, then intersperse a couple. But like the big hitters, not these random feel-good things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Blade. Okay, makes sense. Big hitter in the middle of a show. But not the soup-making one in the middle of the show.
Which you saw a few times, actually.
Well, it was nominated for an award.
Yeah.
But they had a conversation about it, irrelevant of the award.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
really, really, there needs to be, I think, there either needs to be two separate events, or there either needs to be a Game Awards and a Winter Game Fest.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, like, there's just, or just slim it down. I don't know. Just not have as much reveals and stuff.
It would be nice if they did two events in a back-to-back, but I know they would lose a lot of like viewer type thing. But if they just said, we're gonna do an hour of Winter Game Fest, and then we're gonna do an hour of awards, and an hour of,
you know what they should do, is what would be great is they should do a lead up to the Game Awards, and it's basically 30-20 minute pre-cut canned things that they release every day, where it's like, here's a group of game reveals, and, you know, maybe a couple minutes talking about them that are 20 minutes, and you do it for like, I don't know, 10 days leading up to the Game Awards.
I'll pitch you this. If I'm to tell Keely what to do, and Keely comes to me and he goes, hey, listen, you've made Ubisoft millions. You've made Microsoft millions. You got Google to back off of Stadia, saved them millions. I've heard this Gamer 2 podcast just cranks ideas, and I need a way to save the Game Awards because we make money, but like everybody just gets pissy every year. What do I do? And I go, Jeff, I got a fucking idea for you. I know you want to be the Oscars, but what if I told you the Oscars doesn't do it right either? What if I gave you something better? I'm going to give you a 30-minute lead up pre-show to the Game Awards. That 30-minute lead up is going to be a panel of some of the most notable games journalists that might have had a vote inside of this. You know, you're going to be putting in your Ryan McCaffrey's, Greg Miller, me, notable games journalist me, Andrea Renee. Like, you're gonna put all these people that are covering all gaming news, somebody from IGN or, you know, whatever. And they're gonna go do like an actual pre-show for an award ceremony where you can put a pseudo red carpet in if you want, that's fine. Put their desk in front of that and they talk, they see people go by and they go, who do we think is going to win Game of the Year tonight? And like what they loved about the moments in those games. And, you know, they get to have that typical award discussion that you would want to have in an award show.
Yeah.
And then we're doing the awards, and we're doing awards for an hour. That's it. And when I say we're doing the awards, I mean, we're doing the fucking awards. You want to take a piss break 20 minutes in? Fine. But we're going awards, awards, musical act, awards, awards, musical act, awards, 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 awards. I like the orchestral thing before Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a, I do think that is a neat and like kind of cool thing. The flute guy doesn't need to be there, though. I'll be real clear about that. Doesn't need to be there.
No.
Do that. If there was like a game from that year, like when they did the Red Dead thing.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, that's the one thing I will say is all of the musical acts were good.
Yeah.
And it's the like, Alan Wake thing, the fucking Hellblade thing.
Yeah. So like those can be in the awards because those are all relevant to the awards. Those are all really good. Mm. But we're going to take all those trailers that you really like and all the trailers we're going to put into a post show. So we're going to do this 30-minute lead up. We're going to do a one-hour award ceremony where it's just awards, 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 musical acts. You want to plug the Steam Deck giveaway, whatever. That's the time to do it. That's fine. But what we're not going to do is talk about any game that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to end that show, say something along the lines of, and Fortnite, that's up for best ongoing game, has this to show you tonight. And they do the Lego thing. Fine. But it's only relevant for things that have either happened or like at this moment that are relative to awards nominated now or earlier in the year. The second hour of this show is all the trailers. And it's just Game Awards, Game Fest. Everybody's still in the audience. And now we're showing off.
Okay.
We're showing off.
I like the idea.
We're showing you off with the, let's take a look into the future. What's to come?
So
not an in memoriam, but
So what they should do the Game Awards traditionally, and then do the second half be Player Choice Awards, and you essentially, they have categories, most anticipated indie, most anticipated, a couple.
They used to have those.
A couple categories.
Well, they still have just the one, I guess.
Yeah. But then you watch the trailers that fit into that category, and they're like, all right, vote.
I did too much. I don't want to do that.
You got to make it interactive, though, because here's the thing. Everyone's going to just, that's, I get the battle, I guess, then you don't get people to watch it is the problem.
The problem is that you would 100% get people to watch both because you purposely have to tailor the second show to just be a winter game. The second hour is just Winter Games Fest,
yeah,
which is what people are going to want.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that want the awards that you're interspersing, again, the right now moments and things that are relative to those awards and earlier in the year. Still fine, but you don't care about that because you, if you're Jeff, you're still really selling that second part. That second part is your most tuned into.
The problem is though, you end up with a 4-hour show.
But what you can do, no. I'm limiting this at 30 minutes, hour. That's the end of that discussion. He does not get to go longer. I will pull him off of stage with a cane. I will Terry Tate, the office linebacker, remove him from the stage. It is just our awards, our winter Game Fest, bang, bang, we move. We are here to just fucking blow shit up. You want the most concise thing you've ever seen? Done. Do you remember what you saw the 3 snaps ago? No, exactly. Don't worry about it. Now, to your idea, though, there could be some type of that component. You need a site that doesn't crash when you tell people to go to it.
Jesus Christ.
Followed by just a what are you most anticipated for? And each time, or like each time a new trailer pops up during that segment, it has a yes, no, maybe. And then you get one vote. You're sitting at your phone, you're like, I like that. Yes.
No.
And it just
rank choice.
No, because you'd be ranking one through 30, and then have to re-rank. It does not work
per
that
category.
Way.
Per category.
No, there's no such thing as categories.
No, you got to have categories.
You know, categories don't make sense anymore. Genres are a joke. Did you?
Yeah,
not,
but then you get the fucking triple A's with the indies, and then people start getting all fucking frothing.
Well,
I only
care about what you're excited for. I don't give a fuck what category it is. I only want to say yes, no, maybe. That's it. Did you want to play it? Do you not want to play it? Are you unsure about it? Cool. And then we're live tabulating that on the backside and it says, here's the top 10.
Just going to be maybe on all of them.
Perfect. Guess what that means? Top 10. Fucking figure it out. Who gives a shit? No matter. There will always be a yes in there and there will always be a no. Call of Duty comes up. You press no. They press yes. Bang, bang. I'm telling you it would work. Because if we do anything else, it's going to be 4 hours. And that's too long. This has to be quick, concise, hit an ad placement everywhere. We just do pop-ups in, like, brought to you by Old Spice. Ping. That's it. We don't show an Old Spice trailer. We don't need the guy talking. We just say gamers need to shower, and then we move on. The best ad they did, the anti-smoking one. You want to know why? It was over in 20 seconds.
The most random thing.
Literally, hey, don't smoke. Thanks. Moving on.
Truth.
That's how concise it has to be. It has, like, when I always talk about with you and with the guy at work, when we're talking about, like, Kojima and games that get too big. Odyssey was a different problem. Valhalla, whatever. They have to be edited. You have to be willing to cut out dumb shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of...
You make a more complete package, so somebody walks out of that going, I don't feel like I wasted anything. This all just makes sense. And it's all just bangers, bangers, bangers. So then, here's how this works. Again, opening lead up, discussing awards, trailers, post-show. Post-show doesn't matter. Other than it's that same desk talking about the trailers that just came out and being like, what the fuck was that from blah, blah, blah? Holy shit, that looks really good. And that you can tune out at that point. You want to go to bed? Who gives a shit? They're not going to show anything new. They're just kicking the viewer away as they just kind of close it out. But they're not gonna do a shadow drop of like a new trailer. They're gonna be like, hey, just remember that if you haven't gone to the site yet to sign in, you got 20 minutes to try to win a Steam Deck.
I'm not even gonna say that because we'll be here another 30 minutes talking about this.
I know.
it needs some revisions.
But that's why I just want.
That's what we'll blanket statement. The Game Awards need some revisions.
And that's why I'd rather just break it up that hard, because I think that you would still be able to pull in the same amount of viewers. I think you'd have a spike probably on the second half, which I would expect, but I think that you would still see a pretty decent chunk show up in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's shorter...
Like, even like Doc showing up on his stream in a suit streaming it.
If it's just shorter, more people will watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just I think just the truth of it.
All right. Announcements. There's a lot. We don't need this many. All right. Sony Santa Monica announced DLC for God of War Ragnarok titled Valhalla, launching on December 12th, and it's free.
I'm going to do something that you're going to hate.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm going to comment on a lot of these.
That's fine.
And when I comment on something like this, I go, this goes in the first half of my version. Because that's relative to a game that is 2 years old.
Yeah.
But also, that it's DLC free. Was wild.
Yeah.
When they said free DLC, you and I both went, did the fucking Scooby-Doo.
I was great. Loved it.
I made sure I still got a word installed on my system when I came home. I do.
Alan Wake 2 co-director Kyle Rowley revealed that its new game plus mode called The Final Draft will launch on December 11th and will feature an alternative narrative, and a new ending, and a nightmare difficulty mode like the first installment of Alan Wake.
Also, very cool. But you want to know what? Well, it wasn't planned at all. That was in the middle of accepting an award.
Yep.
Which also I thought was hysterical, because you could see Sam Lake go, what the fuck, man? I just gave this whole thing about like the world should be coming together. What are you advertising for? did you catch that look?
Yeah.
It was so funny to me.
I mean, it was good.
He did give a good, like, I was wondering if he was going to tear up. Then he started dancing.
Yeah. That was good. I actually enjoyed that because they did it so well.
I was listening to Spotify today, not paying attention, and all of a sudden I hear the song come on. I was like, I'm not playing Alan Wake.
Yeah.
That song's 13 minutes.
Holy shit.
The real version of it.
Square Enix revealed DLC for Final Fantasy 16 titled Echoes of the Fallen and The Rising Tide, launching in spring of 2024.
Again, first half of the show.
Akumi Nakamura showcased the first project, Kamuri, developed by her new studio Unseen after leaving Tango Gameworks.
Second half of the show.
Yeah. She was too much. That's a perfect example of Mr. Keeley's relationships getting in the way.
Yeah. But again, in my edited version of the show, her showing up at the second half wouldn't be a problem. You'd just be like, whatever. We're not having to cut anybody off. We're just doing a thing. And when she, in the pre-show, when she walks behind the red carpet and they go, oh, she's here. I wonder why. And they don't, and you don't tell them fucking anything other than what they know. But yeah, no, it looked pretty.
Yeah.
Like it looked pretty. And I'm just like, so what do we do?
Yeah.
Because every time you've come out to a game, you've then left the studio after.
A lot of the games have that problem.
It looks pretty, but what is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Square Enix presented a new installment of the Mana series with Visions of Mana coming to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series, and PC sometime in 2024.
I don't really care about Mana, so I was just kind of like, yep, whatever.
Arkane Studios revealed that development has begun on Marvel's Blade.
Again, the cinematic looked good, but I want to, he did say third person. But I just want to know more. I want to see. I like that they did it, how they did it, and it's like, oh, it's the dark hour now. Mm-hmm. There's the fangs, the whole thing. But like, when do I get, at least give me the like, look for a trailer in next year or something like that, you know?
Starbreeze Studios is remaking 2013's Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, coming to all the PS5, Xbox Series, and PC February 28th. So, very soon.
Yeah, that was cool to see that get remade. Yeah, that's been a Steam sale staple for a while.
Lightspeed LA announced its first title, Last Sentinel, an open-world game set in a cyberpunk-infused Tokyo.
Also looked cool.
It did. Don't know what it is, but it looks cool.
There was a lot of Asian.
It was very Asian this year.
Keeley was up to something.
He's definitely, he leans Asian. He does.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Sega announced 5 new games based on classic IP, all currently in development. Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, and Crazy Taxi.
We've wondered what they've been up to.
They're up to something, those Segas. No Man's Sky developer Hello Games showcased the trailer for its next project, the open-world fantasy multiplayer game Light No Fire.
Again, looked good. It actually looked good.
Looked good.
And it was gameplay. It wasn't just...
Yep. The
Sean tweet... getting roasted on Twitter has been great.
Yeah, the tweet you sent was fantastic.
There have been multiple ones. One of them is the Breaking Bad meme of Walter being handcuffed in the car or whatever that he can't get out of and screaming, and it's the guy telling Sean, no, don't overpromise a game again. No. And then him tweeting back at the guy with the James... Not McAvoy. Oh my god.
I'm trying to remember what it actually was and I can't now.
It's him with the noose around his neck saying first time.
Oh yeah. James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. Yeah, it's him. Sean tweeted that with him saying, oh, first time. And that was just so, he's never gonna live that down, but I'm one happy he looks a lot healthier now and out of that funk and depression that No Man's Sky put him in. But to also be able to kind of be playful about this now is a lot better.
Don't Nod gave a first look at its next IP, Lost Records Bloom and Rage. Set to be available on PC, Xbox, and PS5, it focuses on a group of friends who reunite in seemingly supernatural circumstances. Oh, I can't say that name. Holy shit. Budokai Tenkaichi shared a new trailer for Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, revealing its official title. Ex-BioWare developers Archetype Entertainment presented a trailer for its sci-fi RPG Exodus, featuring Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Except I was told I should say pew, pew, pew.
That was fucking awful.
It's like the exact reason you shouldn't be there.
Yep. Supermassive Games revealed a new Dead by Daylight spinoff called The Casting of Frank Stone.
The entire trailer, I was like, what the fuck's happening?
Same. Saber Interactive showed a first look of Jurassic Park Survival, a first-person title set on Isla Nublar. I don't know how you said, I don't know what the title, like how you pronounce it, the actual island, but yeah, it did look really good, and I hope it is good because
I'm curious how it how it's gonna play and everything.
Yeah, like
is what it Resident Evil but it's dinosaurs? You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
inventory management and survival horror, but it's dinosaurs and.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked good.
Yeah, no gameplay, just
as we all know, flares don't work on T-Rexes, so I don't know why.
Exactly. You're... Former Payday developer Ten Chambers revealed a new heist game called Den of Wolves. Ten Chambers also debuted the GTFO Final Chapter trailer.
Den of Wolves had a lot going on.
Nothing in my mind sticks out other than the same like weird mask aesthetic that seems like to be prolific everywhere.
The one guy like interviewing a guy in a chair, mm-hmm. but then it turns out that he's not actually interviewing him because
it's like reversed.
The guy is actually in a back the tank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. But the entire time they're jump cutting between that and gameplay and like that he's in a shootout somewhere.
Yep.
So I'm like, what is going on?
Color Gray Games revealed Rise of the Golden Idol, sequel to The Case of the Golden Idol, which will be available on Steam, PS5, PS4, Xbox, and Switch. Surgeon Studios, the studio behind Assassin's Creed... What? The studio founded by Assassin's Creed actor Abubakar... I'm not going to say his name. I'll butcher it.
Abubakar Salim.
Revealed its 2D side-scroller Tales of Kenzura Zao. Out April 23rd. CSUN Games showcased their latest multiplayer game, Mecha Break. Shark Mob announced that extraction shooter Exoborn is currently in development for PC and console.
Also looked pretty.
I don't remember this one.
That is the one that the guy jumps out, breaks the window behind him, jumps out into the tornado.
Yes.
Flies around.
Got it.
No gameplay, but like, you know.
That's like, I'm so jaded now that like...
is no gameplay?
Yeah, that everything's no gameplay, but... Because I see these cinematics, and they all look amazing. And then I'm like, get my hopes up, and then I see the gameplay, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Nexon's The First is a Descendant is set to get a full release in summer 2024. Meeple dropped the first trailer for The First Berserker, Kazan, coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Indie developer Daniel Mullins Games revealed the sequel to Pony Island called Pony Island 2, Panda Circus.
That was a fucking trip. That was a fever dream. I didn't know what was happening.
Speaking of fever dreams, The Odd Gentleman shared a first look at Harmonium, the musical, a game told through American Sign Language.
With music.
With music, yeah. That's
the part that I'm still confused about.
Yes. Rocksteady Studios provided a new look at Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which, honestly, it's the best it's looked so far.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
But I still probably won't play it.
Yeah. I think the superhero thing's pretty well tapped out. As far as, I don't know. See, now...
It depends on... A lot of it depends on what you're doing.
Yes.
And how you're doing it. Like, it's not so much that it's the superhero thing. It's that doing certain game styles do not work anymore.
Yes.
So you have to be very good at what you do.
Yeah. For example, Spider-Man 2 works.
Yes.
Gotham Knights.
Doesn't.
Does not work.
But if they had just made another Arkham Knight,
yeah,
it would.
And assuming Marvel's Blade is like Spider-Man 2,
it'll be good.
It'll be all right. Motion Twin revealed its next title, Windblown, a roguelike expected to launch next year on Steam Early Access. It looked interesting.
Which is weird coming out of you for a roguelike.
Yeah, I mean, that's always my beef with, that's always my thing with road likes. I watch the trailers or whatever, and I'm like, that looks cool. But then when it comes to, you know, where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Where the fingers meet the mouse. I hate them. So.
Fingers or the road likes?
Finger in the road likes. Anyways. 2D Boy announced World of Goo 2 following on from 2008's World of Goo.
Might not have been anything better than matches looking at that going, that looks really familiar. I think I've played this.
Yeah.
And then not until the end of going, I did play that.
I like was racking my, and then I was like, I fucking remember doing this. And it was World of Goo. I played World of Goo. Griffline revealed that Arknights Enfield is coming to PS5 with PC international testing to begin on January 11th. Bilibili showcased the new trailer for the Matchless Kung Fu, which is currently in early access on PC. That looked kind of interesting.
That one was in like the, what the fuck's going on over there?
Yeah, very much so. Ninja Theory shared a new gameplay trailer for Hellblade: Senua's Saga with no confirmed release date.
Kind of getting old.
Yep. What did it say? 2020? It says
next year.
It said, yeah, 2024.
Yep.
The musical number was also interesting.
Those dudes on the drums, man, were just loving their life.
Yeah. As they should.
Yep. Again, music number that makes sense.
Yep. Moon Studios revealed its next game, No Rest for the Wicked, which will start early access on PC in early 2024, with a full release expected on PC, Xbox Series, and PlayStation 5. No Rest for the Wicked. Which that one? What the? Which one was that? No Rest for the Wicked. I feel like that one looked good.
I believe that's the split one with two people, where one that one's alive.
I believe
that is that one.
All right, not the one I was thinking. House House announced their next big title, Big Walk, coming in 2025. Hideo Kojima shared his upcoming Xbox exclusive project. Overdose.
I want to roll back.
Yeah, to Big Walk.
Big Walk.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Because House House are the guys that made Untitled Goose Game.
Mm-hmm.
And that had more direction.
Yeah.
This, they just went sandbox, weird people walk around, make kookaburra noises.
Holes in the ground at one point.
Yeah, well, they jump through I was like, I'm so confused. Because they were also like solving little puzzles. They were playing chicken on the beach.
It kind of looked like Human Fall Flat.
A little bit, yeah. Maybe their take on it, their take on like that type of thing.
Yeah, which I'm all right with that. There should be more games like that.
True.
Hideo Kojima shared his Xbox exclusive project, which I believe it's Overdose, right? I think that's what we saw.
I believe so, and that's why it's just everything's getting called, all the logos, the shirts, yeah. The OD, everything else.
Everything appeared to say OD, but I think it's called Overdose, which will be developed in collaboration with Jordan Peele, among a whole slew of other people, apparently, that they're going to announce later. A teaser trailer showcase. Teaser trailer might be a stretch, but by all means.
They showed two people's faces.
Yeah, they showed... increasingly distressing shots of its cast. Sophia Lillis and Hunter Schafer and Udo Kier. Which, I don't recognize any of those names, but I recognize their faces.
Hunter Schafer sounded familiar, but like his voice did, but that's about it.
Yeah. Capcom announced the latest entry in the Monster Hunter franchise, which was, I believe, Wilds, right?
Yes.
Monster Hunter Wilds?
Yes.
It's coming out in 2025 on the series, PS5 and PC.
I'll need to ask my Monster Hunter friends what they think.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have a frame
of reference.
Right. I'm like, okay, that's the next main like Monster Hunter. Like, remember Monster Hunter? I don't think it was World, but the last one that came out that was like the whole big, you know, adventure. Everybody's like really, seemed like Monster Hunter fans were really excited, and they've done DLC since. And I'm like, I think they've done ones like on Switch and stuff in the meantime. So those are just like, you know, little offshoot ones that aren't main entries. Yeah. And so I think this is supposed to be the next like main entry. And I'm like, this should be exciting for them, I think.
I occupy that exact same space when it comes to Monster Hunter.
Me looking at them, is this good for you?
this reminds me of like the time we went to Gettysburg with Dewey, and we're in a brewery, and Dewey, we're trying beer.
Oh, okay.
And Dewey looks at us and he's like, should I like this? And we're like, no.
I just appreciate that. Should I like this?
Embark Shadow dropped the release of its competitive shooter, The Finals. Have you heard anything about this yet?
I played the beta a little bit before it officially came out. I enjoyed it a little bit, but me and shooters, you know how it goes. I need people to play it with, otherwise it's not as entertaining to me.
Okay. Baldur's Gate 3 released on Xbox consoles.
Poof.
And there were some other game announcements. The Dave the Diver and Dredge crossover.
Looked pretty cool.
Metaphor Fantasio, yep. Which was the fucking Persona.
Yep.
Basically Persona. Warframe, Whispers in the Walls update. Final Fantasy VII.
I don't know why the dude from Watch Dogs was there. Aiden the bad guy. Watch Dogs was the bad guy.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth theme song premiere, new footage.
Unnecessary.
Yup. Apex Legends and Final Fantasy VII crossover.
Confusing.
Yup. And then there were some even more that came with release dates. Ready or Not is leaving early access on December 13th.
Dude, play the game. Not Matt specifically, but like, people. Ready or Not, man, get yourself a crew and suffer.
Yeah.
It's if you get the right group of people, it's going to be so much fun.
Stormgate is coming out of early access in the summer of 2024, or coming to early access in the summer of 2024.
If you're a Warcraft person, like Warcraft 3, Stormgate might interest you.
Okay.
Because apparently Metzen also consulted on it.
Well, there you go. Asgard's Wrath is coming to Meta Quest on December 15th.
I'm Matt Mercer.
Nate's favorite, Skull and Bones, is coming out February 16th.
No, it's not.
As Dusk Falls on PS4 and PS5 is coming out March 7th. Rise of Ronin on PS5, March 22nd.
Looked interesting.
Yep. Black Myth Wukong, finally coming out August 20th, 2024.
Great release date for that game.
Yeah.
It looks really pretty. I will not play it.
Yeah, that's out of all the games, that one is the one that I said it when we were watching it. It screams to me too good to be true.
True. And it screams. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, that is so pretty. And I will have absolutely no interest to play it because it is not my style of game.
No, I think it's supposed to be a Souls-like.
Yeah. But also, August 20th, you're safe.
Yeah, that was a good date. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. Coming out September 9th.
I still hope that doesn't suck. Curious.
The First Descendant is summer 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Zenless Zone launching on PC and Mac in 2024. Thrasher on PC in 2024.
There's a third Z in that title.
Is there? Zenless Zone.
I'm pretty sure it was triple Z's.
Yeah, well.
Zen something zone?
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought it was three Z's, but maybe I'm wrong.
Thrasher 2024.
Thrasher is the makers
of Thumper.
Yeah. The
cult classic.
Cult classic that blew our minds.
Cult hit. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. We need to hire new writers.
Yes.
In my game awards, we're hiring new writers.
Yeah.
I need better script writers because that was terrible.
And then Usual June in 2025.
All right. So there it was. There's your game awards talk. Let's get some...
And by the way, this isn't everything.
No, that was a condensed version, which is all you need to know.
Yeah.
Now for questionable things that we didn't write full paragraphs on, because I want to wrap this up. Indie game studio Triple Topping has announced that its staff has become redundant.
Due to going bankrupt.
I just wanted to stop there for some reason. Triple Topping was established in 2017 by Redstrup and Simon Stalhansky. It has released such titles as Spitkiss, Yinglet, and Welcome to Elk.
Good stuff.
Dude, Spit Kiss was such a good game. Number two, workers at QA provider Experis Game Solutions, Solutions Milwaukee office voted to unionize. The union, composed of 42 test associates, software test engineers, and data software analysts, is set to begin preparations for contract negotiations with Xperia Game Solutions. Number three, Twitch is planning to shut down its streaming platform in South Korea next year due to high operating costs. Number four, Nintendo has canceled its upcoming fan event in Tokyo after, quote, persistently receiving threats, quote, against its employees. New dates will be announced when they have been decided. Number five, the FTC has made its appeal to block Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, despite the $68.7 billion deal closing in October and multiple now investment capitals telling them to shut the fuck up. Number six, Starbreeze announced it has partnered with Wizards of the Coast to create a Dungeons & Dragons cooperative game. The title, powered by Unreal Engine 5 technology, will be released in 2026 on all major platforms with crossplay functionality. THQ has announced that Alone in the Dark will be delayed until March 20th, 2024 to avoid crunch over the holidays. Number eight, an Xbox journalist said that Avowed will not be releasing in the first half of 2024. So you could at least eliminate 6 months. Number nine, EA has made its photosensitivity analysis tool open source. The resource, known as Iris, offers users an analysis to check content for flashing lights or rapidly changing spatial patterns. It aims to be used by developers early on in their development cycles to stop flashing lights. Number 10, a Dragon Age Dreadwolf teaser showed glimpses of its world, but hey, there ain't going to be much until September of 2024, where hopefully they show us a more in-depth trailer.
There was.
It's been 7 days. Anything?
Not really. Listening to Hardcore History started that up.
Twilight of the Acer.
Yep. Simrig cockpit and monitor mount is built. First monitor is ordered. Ordered some bolts for the wheelbase to hook up appropriately.
Y'all like
bolts. And
I got bolts.
That's about it for me. What have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. Playing through some Alan Wake, trying to finish that off so I can cross off the list. Still get jump scared way too much in that game. Where I just had that moment of like, Jesus fucking Christ. But it's good. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's just that I don't need those heart moments, man.
A random YouTuber that I watch, tech YouTuber, playing through Alan Wake 2, said that if it has the most jump scares out of any game they've played.
I believe that. And also, for me, it has the most successful ones.
Yeah. They kind of said the same thing, where it was like, if you are someone who enjoys jump scares,
yeah,
you'll really like the game because it has the most good jump scares.
Yeah, they're done the correct way where they're not consistent.
Yeah.
So it's not, oh, that door just shut. I watched the enemy go in there and they shut the door. So I'm going to open this door and they're going to, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be, ooh, spooky ghost. And it's like, you open the door, there's just nothing. And you're like,
yeah, I don't like jump scares.
And then you're walking into a lit room and then they, ah, gotcha. And you're like, I was feeling safe.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, no. That's why I don't play it at night.
That's fair.
Because there's just going to be that moment where I go, that's it.
Fuck this game.
I'm fucking done. I'm not playing it anymore. But yeah, I need to get through that so I can get back to Dragon.
Dragging these nuts.
Over your face like a Dragon Gaiden. So,
yeah.
That's before the...
Oh, you're going to end up having a backlog of fucking...
I refuse.
Of Yakuza games. Or
Yakuza games. I need to get through Like a Dragon Gaiden before Infinite Wealth.
Yeah.
I think I can do that. I just need to, you know,
yeah,
pedal to the floor.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, Marvel Snap.
Marvel Snap.
Picked it back up. I'm enjoying it again. Fun.
Dirty mobile game.
True, but I played on the desktop.
He's safe.
I have it on my phone because it's, you know, cross accounts or whatever. But when I'm just like waiting for people, I can just open up a quick gameplay. Because annoyingly, they didn't do that with Arclight Rumble from Warcraft Rumble. Like, you have an Atari launcher, but I can't launch that. Come on, man. Otherwise, I would do that.
Is it a clone? Is it like a Korean clone or something of something? Or
I don't know if they hired another company, but like, what? They have an entire launcher. Just why can it not?
It's foolish.
Why is it not in BattleNet?
It's quite foolish.
With the same, you know, it's my account. Just let me log in and cross progression.
Yeah.
But whatever. Doesn't really matter. And yeah, that's it. Maybe I'll try that God of War DLC.
Yeah.
We'll see. But otherwise, until 7 days from now, toodaloo, bye-bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.